ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தே சாந்தே சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். We were discussing கிரகஸ்தா ஆசிரமா அண்ட் சந்யாசா ஆசிரமா, அண்ட் சங்கராச்சாரியா எஸ்டாப்ளிஷஸ் டூ டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் சந்யாசாஸ், வித்வத் சந்யாசா அண்ட் விவிதிஷா சந்யாசா. And Vidvat Sannyasa is the sannyasa taken after gaining jnanam. And Vividisha Sannyasa is sannyasa ashrama taken before gaining jnanam, for gaining jnanam. So first Acharya establishes Vidvat Sannyasa by giving two arguments. Number one, jnanam does not require support of karma to attain moksha. That is, karma is useful and relevant before gaining jnana. Just as we require, for example, a matchbox by lighting the lamp or flame. But once the flame has come, flame does not require matchbox to remove darkness. Actually, this is Shankaracharya's example only. Similarly, jnana utpatyartham karma apekshaha jnana paladanartham na karma pala karma apekshaha. So palasya karanam pushpam palam pushpa vivarjitam jnanasya karanam karma jnanam karma vivarjitam. The palam means the fruit requires flowers for its utpatti, but thereafterwards the fruit to give its benefit, it does not require the support of the flower. Similarly, jnanam for its rising requires karma for chitta shuddhi, and jnanam to give moksha, it does not require karma. Therefore, once a person gains jnanam, karma is not required. And according to the traditions, karma is equal to grahasthashrama is equal to karma, because grahasthashrama is karma pradhana. Both are synonymous in our tradition. Therefore, jnanam does not require karma means jnanam does not require grahastha ashrama, and therefore one can take to sannyasa exactly as Yajnavalkya did. And Acharya gives Shruti Pramanam kevala jnanat mokshaha. From the Veda itself he quotes, first argument. And the second argument for Vidvat Sannyasa is jnanam and karma are paraspara viruddham. Jnana is preceded by vairagyam and karma is preceded by raga, attachment. And jnanam involves removal of duality, whereas karma involves ascertainment of duality. Therefore, hetu bedaha, swarupa bedaha, and phala bedaha. So jnanam leads to immortality and infinitude, and karma leads to finitude. Therefore, the causes are different, natures are different, and fruits are different at all levels. And we saw in Kathopanishad, duramete viparite vishuchi avidyaya cha vidyeti jnata. Therefore, jnana and karma cannot go together. And therefore, jnanam and grahastha ashrama cannot go together. So a jnani takes to sannyasa ashrama. This is the second argument. After establishing the Vidvat Sannyasa, Acharya comes to Vividisha Sannyasa, that is, Sannyasa Ashrama is accepted for the sake of Jnanam, even for an Ajnani also. So Vividisha means wishing to know, Veditum Iccha. So for this also many arguments are given, but Shankaracharya gives two arguments. And the first argument, we talked about two types of sadhanas, Yama and Niyama. The Yama group of sadhanas, they consist of five sadhanas. What are those? Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, and Aparigraha. And Niyama consists of five sadhanas, Shaucham, Santosha, tapas, swadhyaya, and Ishwara pranidhanam. They are all religious purity, contentment, vows, austerities, and discipline, parayanam of scriptures. So Acharya says, Grahastashrama is Niyama Pradhana. In Grahastashrama, Niyama gets important and more relevant also. Yamas are not absent, but they are only secondary. Mukhya Yama cannot be practiced by Grahastha. Amukhya Yama, secondary Yama alone can be practiced. Whereas in the case of Sannyasi, it is other way around. Yama is Mukhya, Niyama is secondary. Secondary means Gauna. So in Sannyasa Ashrama, Yama is Mukhya Pradhana. For Sannyasa, Niyamas are secondary. So it is Yama Pradhana Ashrama is Sannyasa Ashrama. Visa Saucham, Santosha, and Tapas in the last class, that is yesterday. Now Swadhyaya and Ishwara Pranidhanam, they remain, we will see them. So Swadhyaya is the regular Parayanam of Vedas, and Ishwara Pranidhanam is regular Puja. Both are in the form of Karma. Swadhyaya comes under Brahma Yajna, and Ishwara Pranidhanam comes under Deva Yajna. These being karmas, they are relevant for grahasthas. Whereas for sannyasis, all the karmas are to be renounced. Therefore, pancha maha yajnas are not relevant for the sannyasi. Therefore, in short, all the niyamas are primary for grahastha, but secondary for the grahastha. So now let us come to yama. The first yama is ahimsa. And in the case of grahastha, absolute ahimsa is impossible. Because some of the religious rituals practiced in those days, they themselves involved animal sacrifice. And therefore, part of the karma is himsa. Therefore, the scriptural rites themselves involved some amount of himsa. And thereafterwards, maintenance of establishment like having a house involves certain himsa. Like cleaning the house, as I told yesterday, killing of pests and all that. Because there are children in the house, there is kitchen, cooking is done, hygiene is important. So these are called suna. Pancha suna grahasthasyam pancha yajnena nashyati. Fivefold himsas, certain inevitable himsas we do routinely for compensating which alone pancha maha yajnas are prescribed in the grahasthashrama. So running an establishment involves some himsa. Many transactions required for grahasthas involves cooperative endeavor, needs discipline, and all the people may not be disciplined. You have to use sahamadana, veda danda to run the family or company, institution or organization. Often there is dharma sankata situation comes. One may be unfit for a job. If you dismiss him, his family life, his life, they are going to be affected. If you don't dismiss him, institution will get affected. Dharma sankatam. So many transactions involve himsa. Hence, absolute ahimsa cannot be followed by grahasthas. For sannyasi, such transactions are not there. So if sannyasi has establishment, he will also face dharma sankata situations. But according to sannyasa, as prescribed in the scriptures, no transactions, no establishments, and therefore it is practicable. That is why even Chaturmasa Vratam is prescribed, where he avoids even walking to avoid killing the insects. Therefore, Mukhya Ahimsa is possible in Sannyasa Ashrama, and Gauna Ahimsa or secondary Ahimsa only is possible in Grahastha Ashrama. And then Satyam. If a Grahastha takes a vow to speak only Satyam, he will have to face innumerable problems. Harishchandra-like situations will come in life. The person who speaks satyam will become even unpopular. His family will be affected. Employment may get affected. Many people may even get injured if they speak truth. There will be dharma sankatam again. For sannyasi, there is no such problems at all. No vyavahara, no transactions for him. Even if someone asks for the opinion about someone else, he can very clearly say not to ask him anything about worldly transactions and keep quiet. He will not be misunderstood. Whereas for a grahastha, he cannot take any such steps. And if he does so, he will be grossly misunderstood. And his life will become miserable in the society. Speaking truth involves lot of issues. Then comes asteyam. Asteyam means non-stealing. A grahastha can practice hopefully. There also people say that the tax laws are such that they cannot live by paying taxes. We are seeing even here practical examples in the US. Suppose I don't follow the law and don't pay the tax. Technically, it is like stealing the money of the government. Steyam. Then the fourth yama is brahmacharya. A grahastha cannot practice absolute celibacy for the sake of progeny, to give rise to children. Mukhya brahmacharya is celibacy, which is not possible for grahastha. So secondary brahmacharyam called chastity or being loyal to wife is only possible. It is only gauna brahmacharya for grahastha and not mukhya brahmacharyam. It is only for sannyasi. And finally, aparigraha, non-possession. This is also possible only for sannyasi, a grahastha, to run an establishment, to bring up children at all, and all that needs possessions. Therefore, all the five yamas cannot be absolute for a grahastha. And therefore, sannyasa ashrama is called yama pradana ashrama, and grahastha ashrama is called niyama pradana ashrama. One is mukhyam, and the another one is gaunam or amukhyam. And between the two sadhanas, yama is antaranga sadhana, which is closer to jnanam. Without yama, jnanam cannot take place. Whereas niyama is remote bahiranga sadhana, and therefore a person should first focus on niyama in grahasthashrama, and later he should focus on niyama positively, and for the practice of yama, sannyasashrama becomes conducive. Therefore, a vividisha sannyasi can happily practice yama for gaining knowledge, whereas a grahastha has to struggle to practice yama to gain jnanam. Therefore, vividisha sannyasa is conducive for jnanam. This is Acharya's argument. Not only that, vividisha sannyasa is prescribed in Shastram also. Sannyasya shravanam kuryat. We saw in the fourth chapter. In the previous Brahmanam also, Shanto Danta Uparataha Titikshum Shraddha Vitto Bhutvam Atman Yevam Atmanam Pashyet. We saw earlier where Sama, Shama, Dama, Uparati, all those things were discussed. In Sadhana Chaturshtaya Sampati, Uparati has got the primary meaning of sannyasa itself. So this is Shruti from Prakadani Upanishad itself. In Smriti also, there is a beautiful saying, Samsaram eva nissaram drishtvam saradhidrikshayam pravrajanti akruto dvahaham param vairagyam ashritaha. There are certain brahmacharis who see samsara as nissara, no saram at all. In samsara, there is no saram. Then what is saram? And Brahman and moksha alone is sara. And what do they do? Pravrajanti akrudodvaha. Without entering grahasthashrama, without doing, udvaha means marriage. So without entering into grahasthashrama, they straight away take to vividisha sannyasa. Param vairagyam ashritaha. Because of what? Detachment. Thus, vividisha sannyasa is not only logical, but also supported by shastras. Thus, Shankaracharya establishes vidvat sannyasa and vividisha sannyasa. Then finally, a practical question can come. What do you say whether we should take to sannyasa or not to gain moksha or jnana? People can ask these questions. We have already discussed this before, but we will refresh again. The question is not whether sannyasa is a must or not for gaining jnanam. Because the primary qualification of jnanam is what? Not sannyasa, sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, yama and niyama, especially yama, ahimsa, aste, satyam, asteyam, brahmacharyam, aparigraha, otherwise called amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantihi, arjavam, as Krishna said. These are a must for gaining jnanam and moksha. Now, if a grahastha asks the question whether sannyasa is required or not, there will be a counter question. What is that? Can you follow and practice sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, amanitvadi values remaining in grahastha ashrama? If the grahastha ashrami says that I am in such a position, my family situation is also such, I have not compromised the values, then our answer is in grahastha ashrama, a person definitely can gain moksha. In support of this, we give the Bhagavad Gita example also. Gata sangasya muktasya jnana avastita chetasaha yajnaya acharata karma samagram praviliyate. Fourth chapter. And suppose a grahastha argues, you say that all virtues one should follow and it is not possible for values and sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti is not possible. If one say, once a person says, to that person we say, in grahastha ashrama, since you are not able to follow sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, you cannot gain jnanam and moksha. Therefore, the answer depends upon who is the questioner. The view of the questioner can follow sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti in grahastha ashrama, then the answer is he can get moksha. If his view is he cannot follow sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti, he cannot get moksha. He can get punya lokas for doing punya karmas. This is the view. Sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti is the primary qualification. With this, sannyasa bhashyam is over. With this, the fifth brahmanam is also over. Because this is a side topic. Sannyasa bhashyam was given by Acharya again, second time here. We want to discuss this. Now we will enter the sixth and the final brahmanam. This is called Vamsha Brahmanam, which gives the Guru Shishya Parampara as Vidya Stuti, glorification of the teaching. Number one, it is a time-tested wisdom. And number two, because the Guru Parampara. And number two is, it has originated from the Lord himself, Sadashiva Samarambham, Narayanam Padma Upasishtam. We have seen all those shlokas earlier. Therefore, it is trustworthy. It has come in the form of Karna Parampara. Actually, in Tamil, Vedas are called Yeluda Kilavi. Kilavi means words. So, unwritten. These are all oral teaching. That is why Swami Dayana Saraswati gives a beautiful argument. He says, Sanskrit language does not have Sanskrit script. There is no script called Sanskrit script. Different people have used different scripts for Sanskrit language. The present script that we use is called Devanagari. It is of a later origin. Before that, they have been using many other scripts. Even now in Tamil Nadu, Veda books are written in a script called Granthaksharas. Many priests still have books in this script. Also Telugu script, Malayalam scripts. So Devanagari script is not actually Sanskrit script. Sanskrit does not have a script indicating it is a oral tradition. Now we will see the next Brahmanam called Vamsha Brahmanam, where a list of the Guru and Shishyas are given. We have seen one similar to that earlier. Mantra 4.6.1 Ata Vamshaha Pautimashyo Gaupavanad Gaupavana Pautimashyat Pautimashyo Gaupavanad Gaupavana Kaushikat Kaushika Kaundinyat Kaundinya Shandilyat Shandilya Kaushikacham Gautamacham Gautama Agniveshyat Agniveshyo Gargyat Gargyo Gargyat Gargyo Gautamat Gautamat Saitavat Saitava Parashariyana Parashariyana Parasariyayanat Parasariyayano Gargyayanat Gargyayana Uddalakayanat Uddalakayanom Japalayanat Japalayanom Madhyandinayanat Madhyandinayanaham Saikaranayat Saikarayanat Saikarayanaham Kashayanat Kashayanaham Sayakayanat Sayakayanaham Kaushikayanehe Kaushikayanihim Gritakaushikat Gritakaushikaham Parasariyayanat பாராசரியா யணஹ பாராசரியாத் பாராசரியோம் ஜாது கர்ணியாத் ஜாது கர்ணிய ஆசுராயணாச்ச யாஸ்காச்ச ஆசுராயண ஸ்திரைவணேஹி ஸ்திரைவணிஹி ஔபஜந்தனேஹி ஔபஜந்தனிஹி ஆசுரேஹி ஆசுரிர் பாரத்வாஜாத் பாரத்வாஜ ஆத்ரேயாத் ஆத்ரேயோ மாண்டேஹி மாண்டேர் கௌதமாத் கௌதமோ கௌதமாத் கௌதமோ வாத்ஸ்யாத் வாத்ஸ்யாண்டில்யாத் சாண்டில்ய கௌஷேர்யாத் காஷ்யாத் கௌஷேர்ய காப்யஹ குமாரஹாரிதாத் குமாரஹாரிதோ காலவாத் காலவோ விதர்பீ கௌண்டின்யாத் விதர்பீ கௌண்டின்யஹ வத்ஸனபாதோ பாப்ரவாத் வத்ஸனபாப்ரவஹ பதஹாஸௌ பராஸௌ பராத் பந்தாஸௌ பரஹம் அயாஸ்யாதம் அயாஸ்யாத் ஆங்கிரசாத் அயாஸ்ய ஆங்கிரசஹம் ஆபூதே ஸ்வாஷ்ட்ராத் ஆபூதி ஸ்வாஷ்ட்ரஹ விஸ்வரூபாத் ஸ்வாஷ்ட்ராத் ஆதர்வணாத் தத்யங்காத் ஆதர்வணஹ அதர்வணோ தெய்வாத் அதர்வா தெய்வஹ மிருத்யோ பிராத்வம்சனாத் மிருத்யு பிராத்வம்சனஹ பிரத்வம்சனாத் பிரத்வம்சன ஏகார்ஷேஹே ஏகர்ஷிர் விப்ரசித்தேஹே விப்ரசித்திவ்யஷ்டேஹே வ்யஷ்டிஸ்ஸனாரோஹோ சனாருஸ்ஸனாதனாத் சனாதனஸ்ஸனகாத் ஸனக பரமேஷ்டினஹ பரமேஷ்டீ ப்ரஹ்மணஹ ப்ரஹ்மஸ்வயம்பூ ப்ரஹ்மணே நமஹ இதி ஷஷ்டம் ப்ராஹ்மணம். A very big list of Guru Shishyas. You just take the first word and we will see how it should be understood. Pautimashyaha Gaupavanat. So Pautimashya is the student. He got the wisdom from Gaupavanaha. The suffix at means from Gaupavana, Panchami. So then Gaupavanaha is in Prathama Vibhakti, indicating Gopavana is the Shishya who got Jnanam from Pautimashya number two. There are two Pautimashya in the first line. So number one and two. Two gurus with the same name. Similarly, we will have a path. The first word will be the Prathama Vibhakti, which is the name of the Shishya, and the second word ending in Ath will be Panchami, name of the Guru. Panchami Vibhakti, fifth case. So Guru will become Shishya in second pair and so on. This is how the convention is. So in the form of pairs, the Guru Shishya Parampara is given here in this shloka. Therefore, it is called Vamsha Brahmana. And towards the end, we get Sanagaha Parameshtinaha, Parameshti Brahmanaha. So Parameshti means Virat. Brahma here means Hiranyagarbha. So Virat Brahma means Hiranyagarbha. The final pair is Virat and Hiranyagarbha. Virat got the wisdom from Hiranyagarbha. And how did Hiranyagarbha get the wisdom? Hiranyagarbha gets wisdom from Brahma Swayambhuho. Hiranyagarbha alone is self-taught. Swayambhata Vedaha. So for him, with intuition, knowledge came. For him, knowledge came with intuition. Intuition is accepted only in the case of Hiranyagarbha. All others, as Swamiji says, all others got it in tuition. Whereas Hiranyagarbha alone got it by intuition. All others have to get it in tuition with a guru. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha is Adi Guru. Brahma Devanam Pratama Sambhabhuva Vishwasya Kartha. Therefore, we are offering the prostration to Brahmaji, the Adi Guru. And when Guru is worshipped, that worship will go to the entire parampara. So, Brahmane Namaha. Shortcut. So, when you do Namaskaram to Brahmaji, Brahmane Namaha, the Namaskaram goes to all the Gurus. In fact, this Vamsha Brahmanam is very similar to the Vamsha Brahmanam which occurred in the second chapter, section 6. So 4.6, the current one, is almost the same as 2.6 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In that Vamsa Brahmanam also, three mantras were there. Of these three mantras, the first and the third are exactly the same of the previous Vamsa Brahmana. First mantra and third mantra are same. Only in the second mantra, Guru Shishya names have been changed. Perhaps a parallel parampara was also there, perhaps. The Guru might have had many Shishyas possibly. Therefore, second mantra has slightly different list. Several parallel paramparas are also possible. You don't have to go into the details of all of them, but it's just only to show, say that these things existed. It is a great tradition, and one should value this tradition of Guru Shishya Parampara. So with this, the sixth Brahmanam and fourth chapter is also over. And also the second Kandam called Muni Kandam is also over. Hereafter, we have to go to the third Kandam, which is called Kila Kandam or Upasana Kandam. It has got two chapters, the fifth and the sixth chapters. It is called Kila Kandam because it is like a supplement. And Kila means a supplement or an appendix. Another meaning of Kila is also a collection. So the Kila Kandam is not one topic, but collection of many unconnected topics. It contains many upasanas, contains karmas, values, and hence it is called Kila Kandam. It is also called Upasana Kandam because predominantly it deals with varieties of upasanas. So this is the distribution of the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So Kila Kandam starts with a Dhyana Shloka or a Mangala Shloka, the well-known Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. That mantra comes here. This mantra does not really occur in the beginning of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, but it occurs only in the fifth chapter. And Acharya's commentary on this mantra is also given here only. Even though we recite it before this, because starting the lecture every day, here only this comes. Acharya does not deal with it in the first chapter, but since it is a beautiful Dhyana Shloka, we read this Purnamida Purna mantra here in the beginning of Upanishad every day. We have seen the meaning also at that time, this seemingly complicated mantra. I call it seemingly complicated because till we get the Bhashya, it's very difficult to understand. We will see this mantra again because it occurs here, and then also it's very important mantra. And then we will go to the chapter. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Adaha Purnam. Purnam Adaha means Adaha Purnam. Adaha. Adaha means that Paramatma. Literally Adaha means that. Here that refers to Paramatma. Adaha Purnam. That Paramatma is Purnam, is limitless. And then Idam Purna, Purnam. The word Idam literally means this. And in this context, this means this Jivatma. And therefore, Idam Purna means this Jivatma is limitless. Thus, these two sentences mean that Paramatma is limitless and this Jivatma is limitless. Now, joining the two sentences, we get some important corollaries. We know that limitless can be only one. You cannot have two limitless entities. Therefore, the Upanishad says that Paramatma is Purnam and this Jivatma is Purnam. If these two are separate ones, then there are two Purnams. One will be Purna Paramatma and another will be Purna Jivatma. And then there will be problem of two Purnams, which is illogical. Therefore, there is only one possibility. Since the Purnam is one only, and since Paramatma is Purnam and Jivatma is also Purnam, we can conclude that Paramatma and Jivatma are one and the same. Therefore, these two sentences convey Paramatma Jivatma Aikyam. So these two sentences together is a Mahavakyam, that is corollary number one. Then we have to note another point also. When we say Paramatma, it can either refer to Sopadika Paramatma or Nirupadika Paramatma. And what do we mean by Sopadika Paramatma? It is the Paramatma that is the Chaitanyam along with Samashti Upadhi, the total equipment దట్ ఈస్ సమష్టి స్థూల శరీరం, సమష్టి సూక్ష్మ శరీరం, సమష్టి కారణ శరీరం. సో ది పరమాత్మ వి సమష్టి ఉపాధి ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ సోపాధిక పరమాత్మ. అండ్ నిరుపాధిక పరమాత్మ ఈజ్ పరమాత్మ యాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ ఎక్విప్మెంట్స్ ఆర్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ ది ఉపాధీస్, విచ్ ఇస్ శుద్ధ చైతన్యం. సిమిలర్లీ ది వర్డ్ జీవాత్మ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఆఫ్ టూ టైప్స్, సోపాధిక జీవాత్మ అండ్ నిరుపాధిక జీవాత్మ. సోపాధిక జీవాత్మ ఈస్ ద జీవాత్మ విత్ వ్యష్టి ఉపాధి, ఇండివిజువల్ ఉపాధీస్, స్థూల శరీరం, సూక్ష్మ శరీరం అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్. అండ్ నిరుపాధిక జీవాత్మ ఈస్ జీవాత్మ మైనస్ వ్యష్టి ఉపాధి, విచ్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ బట్ శుద్ధ చైతన్యం అగైన్. నౌ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్, వెన్ వీ టాక్ అబౌట్ పరమాత్మ జీవాత్మ ఐక్యం, విచ్ వన్ వీ రెఫర్ టు? ఆన్ అనాలిసిస్ వి కమ్ టు నో సోపాధిక పరమాత్మ అండ్ సోపాధిక జీవాత్మ క్యాన్ నెవర్ బి ఐడెంటికల్. సోపాధిక పరమాత్మ ఈజ్ సర్వజ్ఞ, సర్వేశ్వర, సర్వవ్యాపి, సర్వశక్తిమాన్, సర్వశ్రేష్ట, సర్వకర్త, సర్వగోప్త, సర్వసంహర్త, సంహర్త, ఇన్ ఆల్ దాట్. ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ హిమ్ ఈస్ మ్యాక్రో కాస్మిక్, వేరే సోపాధిక జీవాత్మ ఈస్ అల్పజ్ఞ, అల్పవ్యాపి, అల్పకర్త, అల్పగోప్త, అల్పశ్రేష్ట. అల్పశ్రేష్ట మీన్స్ వాట్? హీ మే హ్యావ్ ఓన్లీ టూ కిడ్స్, దట్స్ ఆల్. ఆర్ స్వామి దయానంద సరస్వతి సేస్ హీస్ ఏ కన్ఫ్యూషన్ శ్రేష్ట, హీ క్రియేట్స్ కన్ఫ్యూషన్ ఓన్లీ. దర్ఫోర్ సోపాధిక పరమాత్మ అండ్ సోపాధిక జీవాత్మ కెనాట్ బి ఐడెంటికల్. అండ్ దర్ఫోర్ వి కన్క్లూడ్ అధహ పూర్ణం మీన్స్ నిరుపాధిక పరమాత్మ ఈజ్ పూర్ణం, అండ్ ఇదం పూర్ణం మీన్స్ నిరుపాధిక జీవాత్మ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో పూర్ణం. దర్ఫోర్ నిరుపాధిక పరమాత్మ అండ్ నిరుపాధిక జీవాత్మ ఆర్ బోత్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్. దస్ పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమదం రివీల్స్ ది నిరుపాధిక దృష్ట్యా ఐక్యం. ఫ్రమ్ ది యాంగిల్ ఆఫ్ నిరుపాధిక దృష్టి ఐక్యం, పరమాత్మ జీవాత్మ ఐక్యం. సో టు పుట్ ఇన్ అనదర్ టెక్నికల్ లాంగ్వేజ్, పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం రెఫర్స్ టు తత్వం పదార్థయోహో ఐక్యం, ద తత్వం అండ్ పదార్థయోహో ఐక్యం ఫ్రమ్ ది లక్ష్యార్థ యాంగిల్, ఫ్రమ్ ది ఇంప్లైడ్ యాంగిల్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఐడియా కన్వేడ్ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ టూ సెంటెన్సెస్. దెన్ ద థర్డ్ సెంటెన్స్, పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణం ఉదచ్యతే. పూర్ణాత్, పూర్ణాత్ మీన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పరమాత్మ, ఫ్రమ్ ది పరమాత్మ పూర్ణం ద జీవాత్మ ఉదచ్యతే రైసెస్, ఇట్ ఎమర్జెస్ ఆర్ బాన్. పూర్ణాత్ మీన్స్ పరమాత్మనః, పూర్ణం మీన్స్ జీవాత్మ, ఉదచ్యతే మీన్స్ ఉద్గచ్చతి ఉత్పద్యతి. సో ది జాయతే. సో వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్, జీవాత్మ ఈస్ బాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ పరమాత్మ. నౌ వీ హ్యావ్ టు స్టడీ ది కరాలరీస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వన్ సెంటెన్స్. ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ ద ప్రీవియస్ ఐడియా అండ్ దిస్ ఐడియా, దర్ సీమ్స్ టు బీ ఎ కాంట్రడిక్షన్. బికాస్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ టూ స్టేట్మెంట్స్ ఇట్ వాస్ సెట్ జీవాత్మ అండ్ పరమాత్మ ఆర్ వన్ ఐక్యం. దిస్ సెంటెన్స్ ఈస్ జీవాత్మ ఈస్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ పరమాత్మ. దట్ మీన్స్ వన్ ఇస్ కార్యం ఎఫెక్ట్ అండ్ అనదర్ వన్ ఇస్ కారణం ద కాస్. సో దే హ్యావ్ కార్యకరణ కారణ సంబంధ. దెన్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ పాసిబుల్? హౌ కెన్ దర్ బి ఐక్యం ఆఫ్ కారణం అండ్ కార్యం? ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ దర్ ఇస్ ఐక్యం, దెన్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ సన్ షుడ్ బి ఐడెంటికల్. దిస్ కెనాట్ బి. దేర్ఫోర్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇట్ ప్రాపర్లీ. దేర్ ఐక్యం వాస్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ నిరుపాతిక దృష్టి, అండ్ హియర్ కారణ కార్య సంబంధ ఈస్ సెట్ ఫ్రమ్ సోపాధిక దృష్టి. దేర్ఫోర్ పూర్ణాత్ ఫ్రమ్ సోపాధిక పరమాత్మ పూర్ణం ఉదచ్యతే, సోపాధిక జీవాత్మ ఈస్ బాండ్. సో దిస్ కెన్ బి ఆల్సో పుట్ ఇన్ ఎ టెక్నికల్ లాంగ్వేజ్ డిఫరెంట్లీ. సో వాచ్యార్థ దృష్ట్యా తత్వం పదార్థయోహో కార్యకారణ సంబంధ, వాచ్యార్థ దృష్ట్యా నాట్ లక్ష్యార్థ దృష్ట్యా. సో ఫస్ట్ వి సెట్ లక్ష్యార్థ దృష్ట్యా తత్వం పదార్థయోహో ఐక్యం, వాచ్యార్థ దృష్ట్యా తత్వం పదార్థయోహో కార్యకారణ సంబంధ వర్తతే. సో పరమాత్మ అండ్ జీవాత్మ హ్యావ్ గాట్ వాట్ రిలేషన్షిప్? ఇఫ్ వన్ ఆస్క్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ జీవ అండ్ ఈశ్వర, ఇఫ్ సంబడి యాస్ నెవర్ ఆన్సర్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఇమీడియట్లీ. వీ షుడ్ ఆస్క్ ద కౌంటర్ క్వశ్చన్, ఫ్రమ్ వాట్ యాంగిల్ from anatma standpoint you should say karana karya sambandha. If it is from atma point of view, it is aikya sambandha. So this standpoint determines the relationship between jiva and ishvara. If one does not follow this, one cannot follow advaitam at all. They will say, Shankaracharya writes dhyana shloka, praying to Lord in the beginning. People always say all this. Shankaracharya writes a dhyana shloka, praying to the Lord in the beginning. And later, the very same Shankaracharya says, Lord and I are one and the same. While praying the Lord, he says, I am small and Lord is great. While writing Bhajagovindam, he talks as though there is Bheda. And throughout his commentary, Bhashyam, he establishes Abheda. And we don't understand. People may say all this. Many people complain. Shankaracharya himself is confused. They come to a conclusion also. One person wanted to imitate a Brahmin. Swamiji gives these instances. A person wanted to imitate a Brahmin by putting on a sacred thread. So he observed the Brahmin, how he wears the thread, and did that on an Amavasya day. On an Amavasya day, he observed a Brahmin for how to wear a thread. So when the Brahmin was doing Tarpanam, he was observing this Brahmin. And he found that this Brahmana wears sometimes in the right, sometimes in the left, sometimes in the middle like a garland. So this person thought, he concluded that the Brahmin himself, Brahmana himself is confused. So why should I wear this sacred thread at all? They even make fun of him, saying that he is not Shankara, but Sankaraha. People say all that. So Sankaraha means Shankaro Narakayeva Kulagnanam Kulasya Chai. In Gita, the Lord said, it means mixing up. So Shankaracharya himself is confused. While writing the commentary itself, he writes about Veda and does Namaskaram to the Lord. And in the middle, he talks of Abheda. So what he says, Vedam or Abhedam, Dvaitam or Advaitam. So Shankara himself is confused. So Shankara can be understood only when Sopadika Nirupadika drishtis are understood. Vachyartha and Lakshyartha drishtis are understood. When he writes Bhajagovindam, Sopadika drishtya Namaskara. And when he talks about Aikyam, he takes Nirupadika drishtya Aikyam. Therefore, where is Shankara? This must be very, very clear. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Since Jivatma and Paramatma are identical, we can remove these two words and we will retain only one word, Atma. Instead of Jivatma and Paramatma, only one word, Atma, which refers to both Jivatma and Paramatma. Now in the second line, the mantra says, Purnasya Purnam Idam Adaya. Purnasya means Sopadika Atmanaha. From the Sopadika Atma, Jivatma and Paramatma. Purnam Adaya. Purnam here means Purna Atmanam Adaya. Adaya means after separating. The Purna Atma from the Sopadika Atma, Purnam Eva Avasishyate. What remains is the Purna Atma alone. After separating from the Sopadika Atma, what remains is only Purna Atma. We will see what is the significance of this statement. There's a sa prefix with Sopadika Atma. There is some sa upadika. So Sopadika means there's a prefix. So along with upadi, that is Atma plus upadi. So, Sopadika Atma means Atma plus Upadi. Atma plus Upadi, we have got Sopadika Atma. And from that, Purnam Adaya, we remove Atma. Purnam Adaya. So, if from Atma plus Upadi, if we remove Atma, then what should remain? Upadi alone should be there. But the Upanishad says, Upadi does not remain if you remove Atma. Atma eva avasishyate, it says. In other words, if you remove the Atma, anatma upadi na avasishyate, it doesn't remain. Upadi is not remaining. So what is the significance of this mantra now? Suppose from every one of us, Atma is removed from the body, the anatma body should remain. But the Upanishad says, the fact is, anatma does not remain. Then what is the significance of this? Anatma or upadhi does not exist independent of atma. Anatma or upadhi, since it does not have independent existence, it is called mithya. It is unreal. It is avastavam. It is vyavaharikam. World is the samashti upadhi of paramatma, and the body is the vyashti upadhi of jivatma. Both samashti upadhi rupa prapancha and vyashti upadhi rupa shariram, both are mithya only, because they are zero when we remove atma, the adhishthanam, from parbhotata. So it is like saying what? The pot is defined as clay plus nama rupa. So pot minus clay, what should remain technically? Clay plus nama rupa minus clay should be what? Nama rupa should remain. But what we find is, when the clay is removed from pot, nama rupa does not remain, indicating that nama rupa is mithya. It is the same, in the same way, upadhi is mithya, prapancha is mithya, shariram is mithya, nirupadhika atma alone is satyam. This is the meaning of purnamata purnamidam, that mantra. So what is the final translation now? Nirupadhika paramatma is limitless, nirupadhika jivatma is limitless, from sopadhika paramatma, sopadhika jivatma is born, from sopadhika atma, when atma is removed, atma alone remains and upadhi does not remain. That we have to add. It's not said there, we have to add. This is the meaning of this Shanti Pata. We have seen this earlier, but still I wanted to go through this once again because it's the very important Shanti Pata. And Ishavasi Upanishad also, it is the first two Upanishads of the 10. Isha Kena Kata. So first one is Ishavasya, first one. Many people start with that Upanishad. And when they start reading from that, you can imagine the difficulty of the beginner trying to understand this Shanti Pata. It will not work. It gives the entire essence of the Upanishads. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivom Brahmaiva Naparaha. So the entire Vedanta is put in a nutshell, is capsuled in this mantra. And Shankaracharya says, this Shanti Pata is the essence of Brahma Vidya itself. It is given here as the conclusion of the two khandas, the previous two khandas. That's the conclusion of the two khandas, that is Madhukandam and Munikandam. It's the conclusion of those two khandas, as well as the introduction of the Kila Khandam, the way it is placed. It serves two purposes. It is upasamhara with respect to previous two khandas, and it is upakrama, the introduction, with respect to the following Kila Khandam. Because in the previous two khandams, Brahma Vidya has been taught, and this Purnamadaha is summary of Brahma Vidya, taught in Madhukandam and Munikandam. At the same time, this very same mantra happens to be the ultimate goal of all the upasanas which are going to follow hereafter in this Khila Khandam. So in the Khila Khandam, upasanas are going to be prescribed, and the question will be, what is the purpose of the upasanas? Then we will say that upasana will take the person to sadhana, chaturthaya sampatti, chitta shuddhi and all that, which will take a person to Vedanta vichara, which will take him to Brahma Vidya, which is the ultimate goal of liberation. And since Brahma Vidya is the ultimate goal of all upasanas, the Purnamada mantra introduces the ultimate goal of the following upasanas. So what is that this thing now? Purnamadaha happens to be well sandwiched with respect to the previous section of two khandas. It is summary, and with respect to the following section, it represents the goal. So to relate to this only, I wanted to also discuss this mantra here. And for the Uttama Adhikari, it serves as a summary. And for a Madhyama Manda Adhikari, it serves as the goal. So Madhya Deepika Nyayena. There is a Nyaya called Madhya Deepika Nyayena. It is like keeping a Deepam at a store on a doorstep so that it can illumine both the sides. Similarly, Purnamadaha is kept in the middle as summary of previous two khandas and introduction of the following Khila Khanda. Okay. Now we will see a small discussion or an inquiry on this mantra. A bhashya vichara on this mantra by Shankaracharya. Purnamadaha or Purna Vichara, we can call it. And this mantra is interpreted by different people differently. And during Shankaracharya's time, there was a famous commentator called Bhartru Prapancha. We have seen this name earlier. I don't know whether you remember that. His name is Bhartru Prapancha, whose commentary got overshadowed by Shankaracharya's commentary. And Shankaracharya takes this commentary or philosophy and refutes that commentary. So Bhartru Prapancha's interpretations and philosophy are very close to Vishishtadvaita. This I have mentioned at that time itself. We know Ramanujacharya came only many years after Shankaracharya. So Vishishtadvaitam as propounded by Ramanujacharya did not exist during the time of Shankaracharya. But still, some of the commentators had views similar to those propounded by Vishishtadvaita. And Bhartru Prapancha's interpretation here is very close to that. Now let us start with the Purva Pakshi, Bhartru Prapancha, his views. He says that the whole Veda, consisting of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, is Pramana and it is valid. And Karma Kanda clearly talks about Vedaha or Dvaitam, because Karma Kanda involves a Karta, various Devatas, Agnikundas, Dravyam offered in the Agni, and Swargadi Lokas, which are benefits of Karma. So we find that Karma Kanda clearly teaches Dvaitam. And Jnana Kanda clearly teaches Advaitam. Ekamevam Advitiyam Brahma. We have seen that. Otherwise called Abhedam. So Abhedam means non-difference. Therefore, when you take the whole Veda, we come to know that Veda teaches both Dvaitam and Advaitam. Veda and Abheda. The first part teaches Dvaitam, Veda, and the last part teaches Vedantaha, that teaches Advaita, Abheda. So if a person wants to form a philosophy based on Veda, that will be true to Veda only when that philosophy accepts both Dvaitam and Advaitam. Accepting any one of the two and forming a philosophy will be accepting only one part of the Veda, that is only Advaitam or Dvaitam. That will be a defect. Veda Eka Desha Pramanya Doshaha, it is called. Parshi Pramanyam or Ardha Jaratiya Nyaya, that will come. So like saying one is half Vriddha and Jarati. So a person, you know, the old age, one is half Vriddha. That is one half is Yuva and another half is old. The whole person is either old or young. And it is not half old and half young. And therefore he says, all the Dvaita and Advaita systems, both are defective. Who says? Bhartru Prapancha says. So defect of Dvaitam is what? They accept Dvaitam part of Vedas and reject Advaita part. And defect of Advaitam is they accept only the Advaita part and reject the Dvaita part. And in Advaita Matam, the dosha will be Karma Kanda Apramanyam. Apramanyam. Dvaitam and Karma Kanda will be dismissed in the Advaita Matam. So the defect is Karma Kanda Apramanyam. That is the view of Bhartru Prapancha. And the second dosha is, if Advaitam alone is accepted and Dvaita world is dismissed, it is as good as dismissing Pratyaksha Pramanam. Pratyaksha Pramanam clearly reveals Dvaita Prapancha. Prapancha is Dvaitam. If rejected, it indirectly states Pratyaksha is false. నాట్ ఓన్లీ ప్రత్యక్షం, అనుమానం, ఉపమానం, అర్థాపత్తి, శబ్ద, ఆల్ దీస్ ప్రమాణం, దే ఆల్ ప్రూవ్ డ్యువాలిటీ. అండ్ సో ఆల్ దీస్ ప్రమాణమ్స్ విల్ బి ఫాల్సిఫైడ్ ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ అక్సెప్ట్ ద్వైతం. దేర్ఫోర్ ద సెకండ్ డిఫెక్ట్ ఈస్ ప్రత్యక్షాది అప్రమాణ్య దోష. సో భర్తృప్రపంచ సేస్ నౌ అద్వైతం కెనాట్ బి అక్సెప్టెడ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది అబౌట్ టూ డిఫెక్ట్స్. దేర్ఫోర్ హీ సేస్ ఐ ప్రెసెంట్ ఎ న్యూ ఫిలాసఫీ విచ్ ఇస్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ దీస్ డిఫెక్ట్స్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? బ్రహ్మ ద్వైత అద్వైత ఆత్మకం. బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద్వైతం యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ అద్వైతం. ఆర్ పుట్ ఇట్ ఇన్ అనదర్ లాంగ్వేజ్, బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ భేద అభేద ఆత్మకం, ఆర్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ నానా రసం బ్రహ్మ భేద అభేద ఆత్మకం. ఇట్ ఈస్ బోత్ నాన్ డ్యూవల్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ డ్యూవల్. వాట్ ఇస్ ద అడ్వాంటేజ్ ఆఫ్ ది సిస్టమ్ దెన్? ద్వైతం అండ్ అద్వైతం బోత్ ఆర్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ యాజ్ రియాలిటీ. ద్వైతమపి సత్యం, అద్వైతమపి సత్యం. సో వాట్ ఇస్ ద అడ్వాంటేజ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్? కర్మకాండ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ప్రమాణం టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ద్వైతం, అండ్ జ్ఞానకాండం ఆల్సో ఈస్ ప్రమాణం టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ అద్వైతం. సో భర్తృప్రపంచ సేస్ ఐ ఆమ్ ఎంబ్రేసింగ్ ద హోల్ వేద, వెరస్ యూ శంకరైట్స్ యు ఆర్ ఆల్ పార్షియల్, యు ఆర్ వన్ ఐడ్, యు హ్యావ్ లాప్ సైడెడ్ విషన్. ఇన్ మై సిస్టమ్ బోత్ కర్మకాండ అండ్ జ్ఞానకాండ ఆర్ అక్సెప్టెడ్. వేద ఏక దేశ ప్రామాణ్య దోష విల్ నాట్ కమ్ బికాస్ పూర్ణ వేద బికమ్స్ ప్రామాణ్యం ఇన్ మై సిస్టమ్, ప్రమాణం ఇన్ మై సిస్టమ్. సో బోత్ దోషాస్ విల్ నాట్ కమ్. దేర్ఫోర్ ద్వైత ప్రమాణమ్స్ అండ్ అద్వైత ప్రమాణమ్స్ ఆర్ వ్యాలిడ్, అండ్ దేర్ఫోర్ యూ షుడ్ అక్సెప్ట్ నానారస బ్రహ్మవాద భేద అభేదాత్మక బ్రహ్మవాద. That is his claim. This is the contention of Bhartrupapancha. Now we will see how Acharya refutes this. Acharya says, Dvaita Advaitam Brahman or Visishta Advaitam Brahman cannot be accepted because it has the defect of contradiction. This is called Viruddhatva Doshaha. It is based on this principle that any object cannot enjoy opposite attributes. It can have any number of non-opposite attributes. For example, a person can both be tall and fat, no problem, because tallness and fatness are not opposite attributes. Similarly, he can be tall, fat, and fair. But we cannot say a person is tall and short, because they are opposite attributes. You cannot say that a person is both fair and dark, he is heavy and light, he is fat and thin. Thus, the opposite attributes cannot coexist in one locus. So, ekatvam, so ekatram, viruddha dharma asama veshaha. Sama asama veshaha. This is the rule. So, Acharya extends this to Brahman also. If you accept Brahman as Advaitam, then it cannot be simultaneously Dvaitam. And if Brahman is accepted as Dvaitam, it cannot be simultaneously Advaitam. It is because duality and non-duality are Vriddha Dharma, opposite attributes. This is the answer of Siddhanti. Siddhanti means Shankara. So, Vriddhatvatem na Aburpyap. This is the accepted principle. We'll call it a principle, accepted principle. So for this, Bhartrupapancha gives a counter-argument. One is avastha bheda. So actually he says, opposite attributes can exist in one locus in two ways. Bhartrupapancha gives his answer. Opposite attributes can exist in one locus in two ways. What are the two ways? One is avastha bheda, from the standpoint of two conditions, avasthas, opposite attributes can exist in one locus. Or drishti bhedena, from two different angles. So opposite attributes can be there also. So avastha bhedena va, or drishti bhedena va, viruddham dharmau sambhavatah. He gives the example of a tree. So vrikshavat, is tree dvaitam or advaitam? Question. He says, when the tree was in causal condition, karana avasthayam, it was in the form of indivisible seed. Eka bija rupena vartate.
ద్వైతరూపేణ వర్తతే సదా కారణావస్థాయాం. Whereas the very same seed, when it becomes tree, karyavasthayam tadevam dvaitarupena vartate. Earlier it was advaitarupena vartate, now dvaitarupena vartate. The very same thing you see is endowed with trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, fruits. So it is dvaitatmakam. So karyavasthayam dvaitatmakam, karanavasthayam advaitatmakam. So evam ekam vastu eva ద్వైత అద్విత అద్వైతాత్మకం భవతి. సో అవస్థాభేదేన వా కాలభేదేన వా, అవస్థాభేద ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు కాలభేద, వి కెన్ కాల్ సేమ్ థింగ్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ ఫ్రమ్ అనదర్ యాంగిల్ ఆల్సో. దృష్టిభేదేన అద్వైతాత్మకం వస్తు భవతి. లెట్ అస్ టేక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ వన్ ట్రీ. ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ అట్ ద ట్రీ ఎస్ అ హోల్, దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ పీస్, దెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ వన్ ట్రీ. సో ఏకః వృక్షః. So vriksha drishtya it is advaitam, ekaha vriksha. But look at the same tree from the standpoint of leaves or flowers and branches. So shaka drishtya va, then parna drishtya va, pushpa drishtya va, we say there are many flowers, fruits, leaves, all those things exist. Therefore if you look at the very same entity from the standpoint of flowers etc, it is anekatmakam. So though as a tree, it is ekatmakam. For example, a person comes, you say a person comes, ekatmakam. When you see him as a manushyaha, he is advaitaha, ekaha manushyaha agachati. But if you look from standpoint of his fingers, anekatmakam bhavati. Similarly, Brahman is also one whole. Brahman is also one as a whole. If you see him as, for example, Perumal, big Perumal, very old, it's huge. Look at the same Brahman from standpoint of lokas, mountains, oceans, all of them, the very same Lord is anekatmakam. Thus, avasthabedena, drishtibedena cha, dvaita, advaitatmakam, vastu bhavati. There is no contradiction. This is the answer of whom? Bhartru prapancha. Padi Shankaracharya gives his answer. He says that it is very nice. If you look at the tree, I accept that it is dvaita advaitatmakam. I accept. Avastha bedena, trishti bedena, dvaita advaitatmakam vastu is possible as in the case of a tree. In fact, tree example Swamiji gives, but in the Bhashyam, Shankaracharya gives the ocean example, Samudra Drishtanta. There also, as the ocean, it is one, and at the same time as wave, many. Shankaracharya says that I accept this is possible. He contends that one cannot give this example for Brahman. He says, no doubt, a tree has got Advaita Avastha and Dvaita Avastha. The two Avasthas are there. So does Samudram. Avasthas means condition. So in the case of a tree, Dvaita Advaitatmakam is possible. As the tree happens to be Savikaram, important. Tree is savikaram. It is subject to change. Therefore, it has got two avasthas, karanavasthayam advaitatmakam, and it has undergone change. And now, karyavasthayam advaitatmakam. Change is what? From the seed, it became a tree. That's a change. And therefore, wherever avastha bhedena, dvaita advaitatmakam bhavatim, dvaita advaita atmakatvam bhavatim, in all such cases, it is subject to vikara or change. Therefore, the first point to be noted is dvaitam advaitatmakam vastu savikaram bhavati avastham bedenavat bedatvat. So, second argument is, he said, as a tree, it is advaitatmakam. From the leaf standpoint, it is dvaitatmakam. So, Shankaracharya argues, this is possible. Because a tree has got many parts, when there is one entity with many parts, it can be dvaita advaitatmakam. Manushya can be dvaita advaitatmakam because he is one entity with many parts like fingers, hair and all that. In the case of Samudra, dvaita advaitatmakam is possible because as ocean, it is one with many parts in the form of waves, in the form of bubbles, in the form of froth and all that. Therefore, the second point Shankaracharya makes is, whatever is dvaita advaitatmakam, it is savayavam. sa avayavam, endowed with avayavas, parts, limbs. And the third important point Shankaracharya derives from this is, yathu savikaram, yathu savayavam, tathu anityam. Tree is savikaram, savayavam. It is anityam. Samudra is savikaram, savayavam. It is anityam. Anityam when? Pralayakali. Not whenever we see. During pralayam it will be gone. Therefore he says, yathu dvaita advaita atmakam, tathu savikaram, savayavam, anityam. And if you extend this, Acharya says, if Brahman is dvaita advaita atmakam, then that Brahman also will be savikaram, savayavam, and anityam. So these are the possibilities in dvaita advaita atmakam. For this, Bhatru Prapancha brings various other arguments that we will see in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwarah Sri Krishna. Narayana.